Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Deliver It. This is your Agile Product Owners Podcast. This is going to be episode number 57. My name is Corey Bryan, and today I'm feeling a little frustrated with my tools. I've got several tools that I'm playing with, some that are getting better, learning, that are not. Jira, I'm looking in your direction specifically because you're a pain in my butt and you require add-ons to do things, and those add-ons have to be bought for everybody. So I'm not happy about that. I'd much prefer to use my note cards and sticky notes and be in a room with a wall with everybody, but I can't do that. So I have to use tools, and tools are frustrating just a little bit. So other than that, things are going good, making progress, getting ready to start a new semester project with my state students, which I'm always eagerly anticipating. I'm writing up the project description that they are going to bid on and focus on for the next semester. It'll be pretty cool. So a couple things that I read this week. One that I'm almost done with. I'm so close to finishing the product development flow book. So I have a little bit on that next episode. A couple things I read. One alerted to last show, which was the product manager versus product owner. Do we need product owner debates? There's a really good article that I held off reading for a little bit from Melissa Perry, because I was a little scared of it. And I didn't want to read it because I didn't want to disagree. And I thought I was going to, and I read it, and I was very happy that her main point, at least the main point that I'm taking away from that, I agree with it. So I was very happy about that. But she goes a little bit into her history, which is really cool, how she started as a business analyst and worked into product managers and did some product manager history, and then became aware of product owners. And she always thought that product owners, product managers were interchangeable, which is usually what I think of them as, until she had a run-in with somebody who was using Safe. So Safe kind of, because they have a product manager on their big chart and they have a product owner on their big chart, they are treated as separate things. So that's when she started to look at them as two different things. Her main point, which I agree on, is for me, whether you're a product owner or a product manager, the job is to build the right thing, talk to your customers, make sure you're making them awesome in terms of modern agile and in terms of Kathy Sierra and that type of talk. So, but product owners should talk to customers. Product managers should care about teams. So there should be some cross there, or at least there shouldn't be a separation between product managers only talk to customers and product owners don't. And product owners only talk to the teams and product managers don't. I think that's wrong. And I think that's what I'm pulling out as her main point. But the thing that she highlights and talks about, and this is where it was a little scary for me, is product owner is a role that you play on a scrum team. Product manager is the job. So in that regard, I see her as saying that if you're a product owner on a team and you're talking to customers and you're working with the teams, then you're role is a product owner, but your job is a product manager. That's something you can take to other companies and other teams. And I think that's okay. Again, I'd rather look at it as product owner is the job and product management is a skill. But that's my take on it. Her take on it is pretty good. Like I said, talk to the customers, build the right thing. That's where the focus should be on. No matter what you call yourself. Again, I like the term product nerd just to get out of that space. And I doubt product nerd is going to show up on any scalable framework or anything else. So I think I'm pretty safe on that one. The other article that I read was by Jason Fried, he of 37 Signals and Basecamp. And his article was titled, Why We Chose Profit. This was an interesting one because it really talks to some of the economics that we've talked about before and that I'm really interested in with Rierstein's book. That talks about, you know, why you're doing things. What's the goal? The goal is to probably make money in some form or fashion, and how you actually go about that. And one of the things he talks about in this article is why they choose profit over going public or valuations or anything else. And it's because it allows them to be more flexible. If they are profitable without taking other people's money, or they don't have to argue about potential like they do with if somebody's going for a valuation. It's just, we're profitable. We make money on a regular basis. you know, we have cash on hand. Cash allows him to do lots of different things. They can take vacations now. They can upgrade their things now. They don't have to kind of hoard that cash for something else, for some valuation for an IPO or something. They can actually do something with it. And they can reduce their risk now with that cash. And they can use the most fleeting resource that is available, which is time. Cash is something that they're making. Time is something they can't make more of. It gives them, I like the idea, and he has several colorful languages in this article, so be warned. But he says that cash and choosing profit allows them to, you know, get out of the way of their ego. They only can spend what they make, and it makes them, you know, it gives them a shield between, you know, somebody else trying to come in and do things to them because they own a piece of the company or they do something like that. And really, being profitable is simple and allows them to focus. So when I'm doing calculations as a product owner and looking at costs and economic decisions, I want to make sure, at least for our product that we're doing, that we're making a profit or that we're, you know, being a good business steward as a product owner. So we're making good business sense. So I like the article. Again, it applies to his company, but I think it applies to products individually as well. And that's why I would recommend it.
No doubt that this magnificent vessel will give excellent value for the dollars she'll be earning.
Today, I'm going to talk a bit about certifications. Very often the question comes up at some point about, do I need my PO certification? Or I can't be hired without a certification. Or what value does a certification have? The answer to those questions are all over the place, and we'll try and break it down and discuss each area as most people ask about them. This is going to be a bit of a rant. I do apologize for that, but you're going to be getting some data, some facts, and a lot of opinion. So let's start with this. I have my Certified Scrum Product Owner Certification from the Scrum Alliance. I received it in 2012, and I have renewed it once. So I had been a product owner full-time for about 9 months before I decided that I was interested in getting my certification. I only really wanted it if I could get it at the class taught by Mike Cohen. I was able to go to one of his Dallas classes, and it was really large. It was about 40 people, and I enjoyed hearing Mike talk about it, the role and his experience with product owners. There were a lot of exercises, group discussions, and presentation opportunities. I still have my materials from the class to this day, and I do reference them occasionally if I'm struggling to describe something or if I need to look at a problem in a different light. As I mentioned in the last show, I also now have my Certified Agile Leader, also from the Scrum Alliance, and I wanted to get that through discussions with another person I was interested in hearing more from, Bob Galen. So to the question of, do I think certifications are necessary? No, I do not. Do I think they could be of some value to you? Yes, I do. If they are required for a job, I would think they don't understand what value a certification actually has or what you had to do to get it. If it was required, I would be more than a little bit skeptical about what else they don't understand, and maybe that would lead me to a different place. And there are so many different certifications, companies that offer them, types, levels. It's becoming a crapshoot as to if you're getting some good information and a worthwhile investment for your or your company's money. The big daddy is the one that I have from the Scrum Alliance, the Certified Scrum Product Owner. There are about 105,000 CSPOs, according to their website, that have the certification. This is a cost and a two-day class. It's not cheap. The Professional Scrum Product Owner from scrum.org is likely next. Their site isn't as searchable for numbers, and they have two different levels, a PSPO1 and a PSPO2. The one is a two-day class with a test. The two is a, quote, exhaustive and rigorous, end quote, assessment for advanced knowledge from the Scrum Guide, books, and some other materials. PMI jumped into the certification game with their PMI ACP, which seems like more of an application and review than anything. If you've been working in Agile space for a PO for about a year and a half, you likely can get this one for a fee. It's about 2,000 necessary hours, 1,500 with Agile practices, and a review. There's a few other ones I haven't heard much about and maybe not worth the paper they're printed on, quite frankly. The IEEE Computer Society Scrum Product Owner Certification is a basic pay the money, take the test, get certified racket, as well as the International Scrum Institute Scrum Product Owner Accredited Certification. It touts a money-back guarantee if you fail, so the likelihood that this should be seen as illegitimate really is a joke. On the good side, it's $69, and you could very well become qualified in just an hour or two, or however long it takes you to answer 50 multiple choice questions. The last one I'll mention is the Scaled Agile Framework Product Owner / Product Manager Certification. This, of course, is specific to the SAFe system and its rules and its guidelines. If your shop is going to SAFe, then this might be something I can see them wanting you to have. There is an exam with this one, too. Passing is 60%, though. That seems really low. And I would steer clear of anything that requires me to answer yes to anything related to normalizing story points. I purposely got that question wrong on my SAFe Agilist certification, proudly. It seems to me that several of the certifications are mainly a money grab. There's nothing practical or useful about them. Give me money, and I give you a worthless piece of paper that says you passed my test. I wouldn't go after anything specialized in a certain framework either, even if it's free, unless you really understand what they teach that is useful, and which parts aren't, which parts hold up the Agile values and principles, and which ones substitute their own. So of these certifications, which do you need? When do you need them? And what happens if you don't have one? In my view, you don't need a product owner certification. It's something that's it's a nice to have and shows a bit of dedication and a baseline of knowledge. However, since most of the trainers use their own materials, especially for the ones that don't require a test, then the value from the training and the class is really in the discussion and who you learned it from. If I was advising someone who was interested in a certification, I would say look at the Scrum Alliance first. See if there is a class taught by someone you'd like to learn from. Mike Cohen, Bob Galen, Roman Pitchler, Dave Pryor, Jeff Sutherland, and Jeff Watts are who I would sign up for a class with. If you're looking to get into product ownership, don't start with a certification. Look at Heinrich's video, read Bob's book, look at the materials that are available, and work through the job with your coach or mentor. Then, after you have some practical experience, the certification will be more meaningful and you will understand the material much better. People go to the training first and come back thinking that will just happen, are sadly disappointed and likely frustrated. Having that training and certification at the right time with the right context will be much more effective. It will also feel like it means more to you, and that's worth a lot as well. There are some links to the different certifications if you'd like to view them yourself, as well as some articles on people's experience with the processes and values. So I hope that helps you at least get a little bit more information about certifications, whether there's something you're interested in, whether there's something you should keep, or whether there's something you should reach out and go for. If you have any feedback or any questions about product ownership, you can contact us on Twitter at DeliveritCast or email the show at DeliveritCast@gmail.com. If you do enjoy the show, share it with a friend, tell them why you love it. And while you're at it, you can leave us a rating and a review. We have a couple things to talk about show specifically. June was insane. We got almost double our normal listenership in June. So thank you guys for sharing. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for commenting and tweeting and doing all the things that you're doing. Keep it up. It's really good. Also, I have acquired some product owner t-shirts that I got from a company called Agile Velocity in Austin. And if you ask a question, you can get a copy of Bob's book or you can get a shirt. I think I only have extra large or larges. But if you want one, I will send it to you and I'll tweet out a picture that you can see what the shirt looks like. It's very cool. And we have some questions. We have a question from Chris who asked about totaling story points and adding it to the epic. Chris says, hi, should you total the amount of story points you have under an epic and add this within the epic? I'm trying to understand what value this could bring to a team. I am too. I've not done that before. Epic estimations are usually different than story estimations, at least the sizing of them in a different, like different categories. So if I'm using story points for stories, then I'd likely use t-shirt sizes for Epics or something like that. And I don't know what value it does to say a medium Epic is 40 to 45 story points. I don't know if that makes sense. I've never done that before. I don't know what value that would add to it because they're not going to be precise. One medium, or, you know, if you had four different mediums, they're not going to be the same story point total or even in a range of story points. I don't think they would be the same totals. And that's not the point. The point is you estimate epics at one level and you estimate stories at another level. So I wouldn't do that. Curious if anybody else is doing that and what your experience is, but I would not recommend that, Chris, no. Katie says, what are your favorite whiteboard collaboration tools for distributed teams? I know there are many options out there, and I'm curious to know if anyone has a favorite. I'm specifically looking for an enterprise solution that has great security. Any and all feedback is welcome. Okay, I've used a couple, getting to some tooling that doesn't suck. One that I use quite frequently is the WebEx whiteboard tool. It has one. It's not great, but it serves the purpose for, you know, if you're in a rough spot. The two that I really like is Web Whiteboard, which I think Heinrich makes. That's a really good one. And then AWWAPP, a web whiteboard app.com, is another really good one. AWWAPP is a little bit more bare bones, but it's a lot quicker. Web Whiteboard has a lot more functionality that you might be looking at. So those are two that I usually recommend and use myself when I'm working with remote teams or anything like that. And then there's a few others that I use if I'm just brainstorming with people. Things like Group Map App, which I've mentioned before. Real-Time Board is getting a lot better. They keep adding features to it. And the other one that I use is MindMup. If I'm doing some specific mind map things, those are ones that I really like. If I'm doing something that would be applicable to one of those, retrospectives or mind maps or brainstorming sessions, something like that. So I hope that helps Katie and Chris answer some questions. And if you've got any questions, like I said, send them in and we'll see what we can do to get them answered. Next episode is going to be pretty good, you guys. We'll announce that coming up, but I'm really excited about that one. I think we're going to have a guest. So, all opinions expressed here are mine. You can find more at IsQueryBryant on Twitter. That is episode 57 delivered. Go out and own your outcome. This show is part of the Agile Podcast Network. For more shows and information, visit agilepodcastnetwork.com.